and like I say, most of those folks that are out there really want to see, they want to see a better world. And so they have a desire to see things done that way. And we just pray that God will begin to work in their hearts and their spirits to draw them to the reality that, that Christ is actually the way for a better world. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. And we're going to dig into this thing. Father God, we just come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Lord, it is unbelievable to think about how you love us. I ask that you would help us to let that saturate our mind. That Lord, that we would be able to overcome the accusations that pull us down. Those things that are arisen in our heart, the sins of the past, the failures of the future. That Father God, that you would allow us to rest in your grace, to hold to your truth, to change our patterns, our ways, our life, our character. Father God, we ask that that your Spirit would do its work, that it would sanctify us and bring us to a place that we become more like you, that we would have the mind of Christ. And so, Lord, we just surrender it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the last in this series as we've been talking about we are the church, and we've been talking about what it means to be a healthy church. We've been talking about some of the different ways that we apply that to our church here as far as our gathering. The reality that being able to look at that and see the process that happens in people's lives. And so we are in the last part of that. And so our last core value is actually impact. And so if you think about it, we kind of have these four core values, but they are progressive. The reality that when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we step in to being a part of a family. We step into being children of God. We step into this reality that we are now part of a community that we weren't before. And it is an incredible thing. And when we do that, then there's this step of realizing that there's some things that we don't know. We're babes. We don't fully understand. We don't act like we should. And there's things inside of us that the Spirit begins to reveal in our life. And we realize that we need to grow. And so that whole process of stepping into what does growth look like and being a part of things and experiencing it with others, being able to do discipleship, digging into your word, being able to understand and handle the word correctly. And so we begin to grow in those things. And as we grow, we begin to realize that God has created us for a purpose. That incredible purpose that doesn't bring us identity, but it brings us this new sense of joy and partnership with God. This place of faith where we get to see Him at work and we get to be a part of it. And it is a cool thing when we begin to step into the purpose that God has created us for. And we're no longer wandering through this world kind of aimlessly or just trying to survive, but to realize that we're more than survivors. Matter of fact, it's done. We've conquered. The reality is for us now is to claim what it is that God has done in our life, to be able to live in the victory of that. But part of it, as we begin to do that, is realizing that we also leave an impact. And that's what we're really shooting for. This idea that we make a difference. And we do. The church does. See, when you think about an impact, when you think about something that collides together, like when you're driving your car and you hit something that you shouldn't, there's an impact, right? You go out and there's a dent either in your car or whatever it is that you hit. There's an impact there. And so when you think about impact, it is leaving an impression. It is leaving a mark. It is making a difference. It is literally changing something. I like the word impact, and I think I like it a lot better than legacy. Because sometimes we're told as Christians, leave a legacy. I don't know if I really like the word legacy. Because when I think about legacy, it's what I've done, what I've accomplished. And that's really not what's important. Because to be honest, nobody needs to remember my name. They really don't. The reality is they need to remember God's name. They really need to remember Christ. That's what will make the difference. And those that come to that place of being able to recognize the glory of God, to be able to come to a place of receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they will be with us for eternity. And so we will have eternity to be able to spend with each other to remember each other's name. Right? So leaving a legacy here on earth, I don't get the point. Matter of fact, I think in some ways what it does is it kind of turns me to a place where I begin to think about my own glory, what I can accomplish. I like the word impact, because impact means change. It means something different, that you've rearranged it. You've left this impression. There's something there that actually molds the world differently. Look over here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When I read through that, I always think about the towns in Italy. So you're driving through the mountains, and Italy has a lot of different terrain and mountain terrain. And it's always amazing, because as you're driving along, when you look up on the hillside, you always see these incredible towns that are up on the hillside. Well, you're driving through the valley and the farmland. And as you're driving through the valley and the farmland, it's beautiful, but there's no towns there. They're all up on the hillside. And it was because it was one of these things where it's like it's the position in order to protect itself, to be able to defend itself from invaders and so forth. You got the high ground. It's harder for somebody to come after you. And so that's where you built, was up on the top of the mountain. And so I think about that whenever I read this, because it is amazing. As you drive by, like here, you can drive by some of these towns in the summertime and you can hardly see them because of all the trees. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's kind of nice, because it's, you know, it looks kind of natural. But there's something about a town that's up on the hillside that people recognize it, knows it's there. But more than that, you think about what he says. You are the light. Jesus says that we as the church, we as his children, are created to make a difference. We're created to actually represent and show the glory of God. We're not supposed to be like the rest of the world. We're not supposed to be in a place where we're just going through life and nobody notices. We're actually supposed to make a difference, to bring light into the room. And you guys get the analogy of that and how important that is, especially if you've ever been out in the woods in the middle of the night when there's no stars or moon and you don't have a flashlight. You go, oh my gosh, I can't see anything, right? You know, there's those points where when you get in the dark, you get into those rooms and it's like, I can't see anything, and you bump into things. I mean, how many people have gotten up in the middle of the night and your room is dark and you stubbed your toe on something? Right? Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Because the reality of it is, light is good. It changes things. It's a perspective. It helps us to be able to realize what's right and wrong. And it's what God calls us to. And the crazy thing about it is it didn't originate with us. It originates with Christ. He is the light of the world. And what's really wild about it is he invites us into that same ministry to change the things that are around us. Note that he talks about the light, and really the light in us is the glory of God, is it not? There's nothing in me that makes me special. I may be created unique and different, but my uniqueness and my difference does not make me better than anybody else. My value is the value that God has given to me, what he sees in me. The value of this world, we look around and we look at people and we separate them according to what they can do and what they can't do, how they're educated or not educated, what they provide to this community. And so as humans, we like to categorize people and give value to people. And to be honest, those that are true believers in Christ, I think, fight their whole life to fight against that. because it's so ingrained in us. And yet the reality is we know that in each, every individual, the value of God is in them because they've been created in the image of God. And so we need to treat people as such and begin to realize that's not where the value comes from. The value comes from this light, the glory of God. That's the difference, is what he's done in the midst of that. But what's kind of crazy also is he talks about our good deeds. Right here in the end of this, he says, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your actions are how your light is seen. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But your actions are how your light is seen. How you live your life. Matter of fact, turn over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verse 5. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have these treasures, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Isn't that crazy? We are jars of clay, and we all know it. We know our flaws all too well. We have our problems. Some of us are gruff. Some of us are, overly friendly. We can go either direction. Some of us struggle with certain things, and some of us, that's not an issue, and we're all different. We're all unique, and that's the glory. If you think about the Bible, when you dig into it and you read stories of people of the past, none of them were perfect. They all got flaws, and guess what? You guys got flaws. I'm the only one that doesn't. Okay, you're listening. Thanks, Tom. Good amen over there. All right. But yeah, we laugh. Why do we laugh? Because the reality is we all have flaws. We know that. But that does not stop us from actually showing the glory of God. The devil would whisper in your ear that it does. He would love to disqualify you. And the easiest way to disqualify you is get you to think that you're disqualified. But you're not. Because it's God's glory, it's God's light inside this clay vessel. It is the glory of what God has done in your life, the hope, the joy, the love, the purpose that he's given you to be able to live differently, to be able to act in a way that people would see it. Now, the reality of that is this. How do people see that in you if, one, you're not with people, and two, if it isn't through your actions? See, to leave an impact has to deal with serving. It has to deal with actually interacting with people. The greatest way that we actually feel love is when somebody serves us. And that could be through a hug. That could be through just taking time and listening to your story. Those are acts of service. It's not just swinging a hammer or painting a room. The reality is when we are unselfish and we take time to be with somebody else, those are acts of good deeds. Those are things, those are an expression of love. See, we can do a lot of things, and we can run around this world and we can accomplish a lot of different stuff. And there's good organizations out there that are doing that. And we helped an organization the other day. The stuff that they're doing, the amount of waste that they're keeping out of our landfill, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. They're not doing it to the glory of God. They're doing it to the glory of the earth. And for a lot of us, we kind of go cringe. Ooh, oh, Mother Earth, here it comes. But what's inside of them? There's a desire inside of them to see things change. Is that wrong? Shouldn't we all want a better world? Shouldn't we all desire a better place? A place of equality, a place of justice, a place where we handle our resources properly? I mean, as believers, we cringe because we realize that the hope comes in Christ. It doesn't come in just saving the planet. But sometimes we cringe, I think, because there's people out there that have convictions to actually change things and make an impact, and we don't. And to be honest, as believers, if we're not trying to do something, then we're missing it. And it's not something for our glory. It's for the glory of God. It's being able to see Him. We all want beauty. We all want to see things change. I mean, some of the most crazy popular shows on TV are home fix-it shows. How many of you guys sit and watch home fix-it shows? You know, they're going to change something up. And it's like you take something that's ugly and you're going to change it and make it beautiful. And it's like, wow, it's kind of cool to be able to watch the whole thing. You know, how many of you that watch that actually pick up a hammer and go do something? No, I don't think so. That's not, you know, we're watching somebody else do it. You know? But there's something there. We like art. Why do we like art? It's just colors on a canvas. Right? Until somehow or another it comes together and there's beauty in it and we're like, we're in awe of it. We like to see change. We like to see beauty. We like to see things come together. It's an inherent desire inside of us that I think God has given to us. And we need to realize that actually when we engage in those things, we actually can express the glory of God. So even though there may be a company that actually takes and recycles all these, you know, building goods and all that bit, and they don't care about God at all, they're just doing it for the planet. To be honest, there's an element of that that speaks to the glory of God. Of being able to stop and realize God wants us to make a difference. He wants us to be good stewards. He wants us to bring beauty into this world. Now, there's proper ways of going about it, because if we look at it, you're over here in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gives some words that for some folks are kind of hard to deal with. He's telling several different stories here, and he's talking about the disciples, the end times here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Or in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." See, we can go around and do a lot of spiritual things and miss the boat. There's a struggle here, because as we read and we look at this, we would think somebody who can perform miracles, who can cast out demons, has to be doing pretty good with God. And yet Christ says, "I never knew you." Sometimes we can look at churches and congregations and say, "Wow, look at the, you know, that place is like growing like crazy, and there's people over there, and you know, that's just absolutely awesome. God's whatever they're doing, you know, that's what God's doing." Maybe. Maybe not. Because it's something that's spiritual, just because it's like it's out there, that's not actually what brings God glory. If you notice what he says here, he says, "Those that do my will." It's not the deeds, but it's doing his will. To be able to recognize what it is that God wants us to be a part of for his glory. Because you can do all these things for our own glory. We can know all these things and say, look how great we are. We can do mission trips. We can do service projects because we're the best congregation. We got it down and the others don't. No, that's not to God's will. I guarantee that one. See, we got to be able to stop and go, okay, God, what is it that you want out of us? What is it that you're doing? What is it that's your will? Well, here's one of the simplest questions or answers to that. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If you speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Paul basically says the same words Christ did. The reality that I can perform miracles, I can do incredible spiritual things that people would look at and go, wow, you got to be close to God. And he says, man, if it's not motivated by love, nah, that's not it. See, to truly leave an impact, it has to be motivated by love. Because love is actually what changes people's lives. When you feel loved, it totally rearranges your priorities. It totally changes your perspective. It totally throws out all the rest of the bad doctrine. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Love is what changes our hearts and brings us to a new place. It's the fact that he loved us first that we even know what love is. Love is, if you think about it, from the very beginning. Many of you guys, if you think about impact, go back go back before Christ and think about it. As you went through the process of coming to the place of surrendering to the Lord, I almost guarantee there has been one or two, maybe even more, individuals in your life that showed you the love of Christ. That expressed something to you that actually drew you to him. That actually made you stop and think about it. Man, when I accepted Christ, I was little. I really was. I was little. To be honest, I keep going back and it's like, I think, close to my best guess is I think I was around 6 years old. Right in that ballpark. I was little. And I accepted Christ and I knew what it was and I got baptized. And some people say, well, it's too young for a child to know it. No, I knew what I was doing. I may not have fully known what he was going to do to me, but I knew what I was doing. I knew I wanted Jesus as my forever friend. And I knew that he had died for me, so that I could be. That he had a place for me. And my mom shared that with me. And my mom's love, and my family's love, was really easy for me to be able to go, yeah. That's what I want. I have a blessed life. My story is not one where I went through horrible sin and God rescued me out of it. My life is a story about how faithful God is and that he has always been there and he has always loved me and he has always taken care of me. Even though I've gone through some of the darkest valleys and some of the worst tragedies, God has still been there and he still loves me and he still takes care of it and he still works it out. And I look back at some of those things that are just horrifying and realize God still loves me. And it's an incredible thing. And all the way through my life, the greatest impacts that have been left on me is when somebody has stepped in and loved me and shown me a different way, shown me the truth, and has loved me. That's where an impact is made. What's going to last forever? We are. This world's going to burn up. There's going to be a new one. There's even going to be a new heaven. We last forever. We've been created to be eternal. And so if we go around and we build skyscrapers or we, you know, do incredible things, we figure out how to cure diseases and be honest, that's good, that's great. But where you're going to really leave an impact is where you love somebody. And how you invest, how you spend time with them, how you encourage them. Man, guys, we're intended to leave an impact. Not necessarily this legacy that everybody will know us or recognize us. Because I believe, and I honestly believe this, the older I get, the more I want Christ to be known and me to fade away. If Christ can be known in the actions of his love, why do I need recognition? It's about his glory. It's not about our glory. It's about his glory. And the best way we show his glory to other people is actually to love them, to encourage them, to spur them on to good deeds. Man, that's the thing about doing things, serving people, is when you serve somebody, it is probably the greatest way to actually show love. To be able to build friendships. That when you're there and you take care of them, when you show up, it's so important. You know, there's two kind of opposite verses. The one where Jesus sits there and says, hey, listen, you say you know me, but I don't know you. You've done all these incredible things, that's great, but I don't know you. Depart from you, evildoers. And there's another one where he says he's going to get up in heaven, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he says, I want you to come into an eternal blessing with me and my Father because you have done these things. You've taken care of me. You've given me water. You've visited me in the hospital. You visited me in prison, and you clothed me when I was naked. And they reply, when did we ever do that? He says, whenever you did the least of these, you did to me. And he turns to the other ones and says, depart from me, you evildoers, because you didn't do it. And they're like, well, when did we ever see it? And it's like, whenever you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. It's really wild because it's like one sits there and says, man, we did all these spiritual things, prophesied, cast out demons, performed miracles. And I knew you not. I just loved on the people around me. He says, well done. That's it. That's what it's about. See, when we begin to have a mindset of how do we love people, we will change the earth around us. We will change the community around us. When we continue to go through our life and go, okay, this is what I do, and we don't really invest, we don't really go out of our way when we're not intentional about actually loving other people. And guess what? You know what? It really doesn't take intentionality because we're selfish. We'd much rather take care of our own needs. We'd much rather look at it and go, well, you know, today I just need a break. It is really easy for us to try to look at ourselves and try to just kind of stay even keel. It is really hard to be loving. It takes intentionality. It takes some thought. It takes, how do I do this? How do I need to, you know? It doesn't come naturally. It takes this motivation. It's one of the reasons why I love the fact that we do mission trips. The fact that we do mission trips, some people are like, why do you spend so much money to go overseas? I'll tell you why we spend so much money to go overseas. Because it's probably one of the greatest ways we can show believers overseas that we love them. When you're in person and you've sacrificed and you show up to serve, that's a huge expression of love. I mean, imagine if there was a team that showed up here and it's like, wow, you guys spent a ton of money to show up just to do some things that we haven't got done yet. And to kind of serve us and to be around us. And it makes you stop and think a little bit. But there's more to it than that. The things that happen in the mission trip, man, it's incredible. We've talked about this whole reality of this, you know, what it takes to be a healthy church. And you realize that when you put a bunch of people together and you go somewhere, there is community that builds like no other, because all of a sudden you're living together. And not only are you living together, there's spiritual depth that begins to happen, because all of a sudden all of you are living together, but you're also expecting God to do something. And that creates faith and that creates growth. And so you're expecting God to show up and do something incredible. And so you're looking at how to get involved in God. But this whole time you're also doing it because there's this little bit of excitement to be able to go and help somebody. But you also deep down, it's like, no, I want to give this time over to love and encourage somebody. And sometimes we get a little frustrated because we'd like to really do that with the Nationals. And sometimes we don't quite get those opportunities, but we do get to get those opportunities with each other. And so we're able to encourage each other. We're able to see God do incredible things. We're able to realize in the midst of it, man, what happens is this uniqueness where we share an experience. And when you share an experience with people, when you have memories, that's, to be honest, that's exactly why we throw up so many pictures. Why there's pictures in between every, you know, transition, there's pictures in the lobby. It's because every time you see a picture, it sparks your memory about doing something together. And you guys, when you see yourselves on there, I know it happens. A little bit of endorphins happen. It's like, oh, yeah, that was kind of fun, wasn't it? You know? And you kind of laugh or giggle. It's like, oh, yeah, that's great. And it bonds you together. It makes you a family. It's intentional. I'm manipulating your emotions. Did you pick up on that? I am manipulating your emotions because I want you guys to love each other. I want you to realize, man, when you hang out with each other, when you create memories, when you do things together, when you do serve, when you go out on our once a month and serve, when you go on the mission trips, these are the things that leave an impact. When we begin to realize, man, God is doing bigger things around us. We have a kingdom mindset. When we begin to grasp some of these things and the reality of how much God cares about us, when we're having a bad day and you run into somebody from church, and the reality is they are church, remember? And when you run into them and they give you a hug and it's like, oh yeah, somebody's got my back, it's okay. That's where you leave an impact. The truth of it is some of us would like to see the real change in major ways. There's nothing wrong with that. But major ways actually come bit by bit, little by little, life by life, moment by moment. We don't need to stand up and try to do something incredibly difficult that it's like, wow, we're going to have this. You know, the days of bringing in the giant, you know, rally speakers, having Billy Graham stand up and speak, we've done that, you know? And wow, it's cool. But you realize, like, even on Billy Graham, You realize that months before Billy Graham would ever show up in the community, the churches were notified. They started praying for people around them, started loving on folks. They started doing programs to have them over for dinner, all in preparation that in a year from now, Billy's going to show up and we're going to invite you to Billy Graham's thing. And so when you go back and you find out about folks that have accepted the Lord in those giant rallies, it almost always boils down to somebody loving on them first. If we sit back and go, oh, we got to get this big bandage thing, we got to do this, and we'll get it, it'll change. No, if we're not doing it right here, loving on people right now, that doesn't do anything. It's actually one-on-one, putting in the time, being intentional about it. I would encourage you to have the heart of Nehemiah, not the heart of Jonah. See, the reality is we are sent. John chapter 20, verse 21, great little verse. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." You are sent. You don't have to go overseas. If you have never done it, you should do it. If you've never been part of a mission trip, you should do it. I tell you, there's so many benefits to it. But this is one thing, even if you can't do that, this is one thing that you need to do. You need to take some time and go intentionally. How am I going to step into this? Intentionally, how am I going to express love? You can't swing a hammer? Great, bake some cookies. You can't bake cookies? Just sit down with somebody and talk to them. Give a hug. But be intentional about it. Start looking for it. Start stepping out into it. Start being a part of a greater community that wants to love and change this world. But be the voice and the light of Christ, something that shows His glory. Father God, thank You for the privilege of allowing us to be a part of what You're doing. Lord, You have called us together. We are Your body. We are Your bride. And Lord, it's amazing to realize that You have a mission. And You have given the church to step into that mission, to answer that mission. Father, I think sometimes we think that You've given a mission to the church. And the reality is You have always been at work. You are calling people around all the time. You are at work and You desire change and beauty to happen in this world, in the lives of individuals. And You call us as a church to step into that with You. And so, Lord, help us. Help us not to be so selfish. Help us to actually carry our cross. Help us not to seek out our own comfort zone and our own little safety spot, but help us to actually extend love to the people around us, under our own house, in our neighborhood. Help us to extend love to those that we see in the job site, those that we run into at the grocery store. But Lord, I'd ask that You'd put into us the importance of intentionality. That we begin to scheme in our hearts on how to show Your glory, Your love for Your kingdom. We give it to You in Jesus' name.